Okay, hi, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our discussion about group work. There's not so many of us here, we're just a few, and that is what happens, of course, when we have the early morning, and the United States is pretty much cut off, except maybe on the West Coast. but gradually we're getting together here, and we have our friends from Australia and New Zealand, and Europe is at a reasonable time also. So Tuya and I will be here. Tuya is having a storm in the north, and so kind of a faulty internet connection. So I'll certainly begin the discussion, and also welcoming to Catherine and Leslie and Miro and Shriyantra and Vera. I think, you know, right now we're the only ones that are present, but more will be joining us, of course. Martin, yes, just joined, and Vera, yeah, I said that. Well, these are times when we can look ahead to the Aquarian, a better method of human interaction during the Aquarian age. And this will mean that the soul has triumphed over the dweller. Right now, the dweller on the threshold is very strong in humanity. And especially these dramatic events are working out in the United States, which is meant to be quite a melting pot, as the Tibetan has described it, and a new type will arise out of the United States and various of the other so-called colonies, like Australia and New Zealand. Maybe there are others, and certainly there are other people who will be responding to the sixth sub-influence of the fifth root race. So we'll have the so-called Aryan root race having to do with the cultivation of the mind, and the sixth sub-aspect of that, which will have to do with the cultivation of the abstract mind, leading towards the sixth root race, the beginning of which is occurring even now, and will be more in evidence in another couple of thousand years during the age of Capricorn, and it will last a long time. So maybe, believe it or not, 10 million years. The fifth root race is of shorter duration. It's kind of an hourglass figure, you know, and it widens out again when we start talking about the sixth and seventh root races. So this law is going to be very important. It's the fifth law of the soul, you know. All of them are necessary to fulfill, and they all have their ray expression, as will be explained. The law of sacrifice, the law of magnetic impulse, the law of service, the law of repulse, and finally, in terms of our easier accomplishment, the law of group progress, also called the law of elevation. So, you know, we're not right now studying the seed groups per se, but under the law of group progress, these seed groups do emerge. And all of us now, and increasingly in the future, I think, we'll find ourselves as members of one or other of these seed groups which will seed humanity with the new and progressive Aquarian ways. So even though this law is ruled by Capricorn, you know, whenever you're talking about initiation and you're talking about a climb, as it were, Capricorn is involved, but he tells us it's still peculiarly close. It has a peculiarly close relation to the new Aquarian age. And, you know, the mountaintop experience is a Capricornian Capricornian image, Capricornian result, but you can take the third initiation as well under Aquarius, and from that time on, it's all elevation. We are climbing, and but usually Aquarius takes you down again into the valleys where you have to express what you've learned on the mountaintop of life. So DK talks to us a little bit here. He says, groups have always existed in the world. As for instance, the family group, unit, and there are, you know, physical, emotional, and mental families, we know that. But they have been prominently third-ray groups. Now, you know, when you go trying to hunt for a soul ray for nations, and you're looking for the third ray, you just don't find it. Every other ray is present as a soul ray, but at least in the rays that he's given us in the destiny of the nations, there are no third ray soul groups. Anyway, the third ray is the common ray, and it is out of alignment right now with higher prospects. So they've been primarily third ray groups, and therefore a dominant outer expression, because the third ray is always outer to the second ray's inner. A primary dominant outer expression and control, and originating as a result of desire. Now, desire has very much to do with the number six, and DK talks to us about numerical affinity. So he talks to us that the telling us the third ray is related to the sixth. You can see the numerical connection. The second ray to the fourth, and the first ray to the second. You can understand the numerical connections. So desire on the sixth ray is related to externalization or outerness on the third ray. The focus has been, I guess ever since Atlantean days, in and in general, outstandingly material. And that has been part of the plan, because the third ray, you know, that we are beginning to transcend in terms of our focus is the builder of the foundation. So, yeah, it's part of the intended plan. Right objectivity and expression has been the goal and still is. So that's the third ray of the evolutionary process. It has to unfold outwardly. It just cannot remain an inward orientation, an inward characteristic. It has to be an outer characteristic as well. But the groups, and this is where our whole study comes in, but the groups now forming are a second ray activity and are building groups. Okay, so the ray of the builder, very much the second ray and the seventh ray. They are building groups. building the forms of expression for the new age. So we're making a transition now, and we who would be members of the new group of world servers performing group work have to be aware of this change in the ray orientation of the new groups. And these groups that we are trying to be part of, and in many cases are already a part of, these groups are not the result of desire, as the term is usually understood. He always leaves a little wiggle room there, you know, because desire is a great principle, and we will never be rid of it. It puts the universe back together, so to speak. But desire, as usually understood, they are not the result of strictly personal desire, for they are founded basically on a mental impulse. Now, when you start comparing in the Destiny of the Nations, that excellent section which compares the sixth ray and the seventh ray, you will find that Master DK attributes a lot of mentality to the seventh ray. And I guess the work of Master Rakotsi has proven that. A very strong mental impulse. And remember, the age of Aquarius is a mental age. Think of it. The seventh ray cycle at this time, and not always, is accompanying this, let's call it 2500 year age of Aquarius, but it is not coming directly through the constellation Aquarius. It's coming through the planetary rulers. And it's the fifth ray of accurate mind applied in the concrete field that is coming through Aquarius. Now, you know, let's impress our consciousness with that fact. We often say, oh, it's Aquarius, it's the seventh ray age. Well, those are two different cycles. And you can have Aquarius sixth ray, Aquarius fifth ray, Aquarius fourth ray, Aquarius second ray, and so forth. One day, when we have what's called on the third level of the atmic plane, we have what's called all knowledge, we're going to know those cycles. Right now, we just know a little, and they are far too intricate for us to really know fully. As DK tells us, cycles of which humanity is not even aware are breaking in and interrupting other cycles. And it's all according to law, but we just don't know the laws. So we'll have to be patient. Anyway, these new groups, not just the result of desire, as the term is usually understood, where they're founded basically on the mental impulse, they are subjective, in fact, and not objective in nature. We know, what should we say, there are many objective organizations. But this new group of world servers, for instance, and the groups under it may not have any objective particular organization at all. They are organized on the basis of inner spiritual relationship. So, and here is a key idea that the new groups that we want to be part of are distinguished more by quality than by form. And by form, I mean appearance. You know, in the psychology books, especially, how about spelling that right? Life, quality, and appearance, Esoteric Psychology 1, that they may eventually produce potent objective effects is to be desired. And such is their intent. In our minds, he means the minds of the masters. But at the present stage, which is that of germination, and we have to ask, you know, that was present back in the 1930s. Are we still talking about germination? Well, maybe yes. At the present stage, which is that of germination, they are subjective. And occultly speaking, they are working in the dark. You know, just the way the seed would come up through the soil, but it's dark within the soil before the light of day is reached. So the 10 seed groups are part of the expression of the new group of world servers. At some distant date, groups will emerge. And you know, let's be patient again, because he's not using words in an idle manner. At some distant date, groups will emerge, which will be first ray groups, animated by the will aspect and consequently still more subjective in nature and more esoteric in origin. But with these, we need not concern ourselves. Well, we sometimes say that there are ashrams on the atmic level as well as the greater collection on the Buddhic level. So one day, the outer groups will take their inspiration from those inner ashrams. Okay, now that's kind of a little background there. And we'll begin our studies of the group work with the fifth law of the soul, the law of group progress. And I'll read just a little bit here, and then we can open the floor for any comments or questions that you may have. Law number 5. And, you know, he talks about it a little bit in Cosmic Fire, but he elaborates the whole thing in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2. And that is the way he operated. A treatise in Cosmic Fire, you know, some almost 1,300 pages, 1,300 pages almost, is a seed group or a seed book. Let me call it a seed book. And the subjects that he briefly mentions there are elaborated much more fully in specific books given to those subjects. Like, for instance, the psychology books, what he says about astrology, what he says, let's see, about magic. There's a whole section on magic, but it's an abbreviated section, and then he writes a whole book on it, you see. So there are important seed references in a treatise on Cosmic Fire. And then they are expanded. So this is a little bit in Cosmic Fire on the law of group progress. And this is sometimes called, he says, the law of elevation. And now let's pay attention to what it concerns. It concerns the mysteries of group realization and expansions of consciousness and the part each unit plays in the general progress of the group. So do we really know what are these mysteries of group realization, group expansion of consciousness? For after all, the soul that we aspire to focus within is group conscious. I'm sorry. And the part that each unit plays in the general progress of a group. So we are all members of a group, those of us who are studying here. And if it's not an outer group, it's an inner group. And do we know our place? Our part in the progress of the group. In relation to the human family, for instance, the truth must ever be borne in mind that no human atom, you know, one of the four atoms that he studies in Cosmic Fire, that no human atom arrives at fullness of life, which is a Jupiterian idea and has to do with the rounded out causal body, without adding much to the general nature of his own group. So we may think, as we work in these groups, that we are gaining something for ourselves, for our individual nature, and our individual nature will improve. However, the whole group will benefit as we rise, every one of us. Let's suppose we have some of these groups we're working with in the Moria Federation and in the Glamour work, a number of the different webinar broadcast groups that show up, you know, repeatedly for that particular subject. Whatever you can gain for yourself, if you have the right attitude, is really a gain for the whole group. So remember, we are, even though individually working, we are group responsible. And our condition, rising or falling, determines also the rise and fall in some small measure of our group. So we're talking about elevation, rising, right? The elevation of a unit results in the raising of the group. It's an old principle, but do we realize that esoterically it is true? I mean, you know, when we have a bad day, you know, we may be in our own little way dragging others down. When we are receptive to the great currents and feel ourselves rising, others may benefit from it. I'm sure we've all had the experience of suddenly catching a current of energy which feels elevating. Who knows where that arose from? And maybe what group member or group members might be responsible for it, and vice versa. So we're all with each other in this. The realization of the unit brings about eventually group recognition. The more light that pours into your nature, your consciousness, the more light there is for the group. The initiation of the unit, any one of us as human atoms, leads finally to initiation of the group and finally to planetary initiation itself. So all the little cells, all the little atoms, they do contribute to the elevation of the whole and vice versa. And the attainment of the goal. Now, what is the goal? Oftentimes considered the fourth initiation. The attainment of the goal by the human atom and its achievement of his objective brings about steadily and ceaselessly group achievement. So let's just at least grasp in this law of elevation our responsibility to each other. Let's just ponder on that for a moment. We may often think, you know, well, everybody out there, they're all on their own, or even when they're a member of our group, as if their own progress is simply up to them and we have no part in it. But from the esoteric perspective, that would not be correct. After all, the sons of men are one, and I am one with them. Easily said. But if we really think outward in terms of our responsibility to all those we don't even know personally, and we never will meet them personally in this incarnation, that we have a partial responsibility for their own elevation. So in working on ourselves, which we must do meticulously, we are working for the benefit of others. It may be a platitude, you know, but if we dwell on it, ponder on it, if we go out in the world and realize that no matter whom we're meeting, seeing, we have a tiny part in their own success or its opposite. No man liveth to himself. And note this, because he uses the word with deliberation. And the crucifixion of the units through the eons. And their realization of their essential nature, only in order to offer up the best they have and realize to the interests of the group, are but the methods whereby the work of liberation is carried forward. That's a very important sentence. Every unit eventually becomes crucified in relation to the limited environment with which it used to identify. Crucifixion is taking the hands away, taking the feet away from identification with a lesser field of expression. And we're told that only the empty, you can't grasp, you cannot grasp for yourself. Only the empty, nail-marked hands can give forth the great flow of uplifting energy that really makes a difference for all the others. We have that, you know, Christ statue, that incredible statue above Rio, and he's standing there like that, you know, his arms are spread wide. This is the result of having submitted to some form of crucifixion or other, so that he becomes greatly empowered, and so will we. Even on our way there, we realize that no human being liveth unto himself. And the methods are that detachment of crucifixion, the realization of the inner God, which maybe we have some realization of it, but increasingly it has to be a reality, all for the purpose of offering up the best that we have to the interests of the group. Not just our own selfish interests. We see such an example of that going on in the United States, where leaders are fixated on their own selfish interests and the wider group, which is the state or the nation, is not considered. So that's an abuse, but something that we expect along the way because of ignorance. These are but the methods whereby the work of liberation, and remember Aquarius, the sign of liberation, whereby the work of liberation is carried forward. So that is an important paragraph that we've just looked at. And maybe we have some thoughts about it or something related. And if you do, this would be the time to offer it in the chat, perhaps, or if you wish to speak. I'm looking for my chat.
Michael, I'm just having a few comments.
Yeah, lift your screen a little. Yeah, or all right, there you go.
Okay. I'm here in the strong snowstorm in Lapland. So it is really about that feeling how what this group elevation means, that because we cannot avoid all kinds of problems and challenges at the moment. So we can see that it is the group. We are so much together on this planet at the moment. The international relationships and cooperation and the economical situation, and then also the challenges, the global challenges. So it is the group and not anymore the group which is in one country. It is groups throughout the borders. And also, I remember how DK has said that the group is, remember that group is never only the ones who are in outer incarnation. So I have been thinking a lot how to become sensitive to these group vibrations which are coming from the other side, who belong to this group or any group. And then this whole idea, DK says that the group, and I tried to find the quotation, but it was something like that Only then, when the group takes a mission, it becomes a group. And I have been talking a lot in old times, in or earlier times, with the people here in Finland, that you actually then invoke the karma, what is related to the group, and you start to work, and in that sense you start to relate with the Christ very strongly, to that, to start to understand about that, that when you take a mission with a group of people, and then and working through the karma, then you start to understand something about the work of the Christ. I think the Christ becomes so strong when one works in the group. Of course, our type of groups are more aligned the whole idea. But if one sees any successful group, it does not have to be on any spiritual field. But if you look the successful groups, it's always how the group has found them, the cooperation in loving understanding or loving cooperation, and some kind of willingness to give away from oneself, or you create some kind of a lovely human relationships, which is joyful, even though there are hardships, and so forth. Very, very hope-giving. That was one of the aspects of my thoughts. And then the other one is related to Capricorn, because Capricorn rules this fifth law, or it is under the Capricorn. And the whole idea about you were talking about them, mentality that Capricorn covers the or rules the third plane, and about middle plane. So I just wonder how Capricorn is related to the fifth ray, because you know that the unicorn is one of the symbol of that. And then when you think that you are in the on the mountaintop, you have 360 degrees vista, and all that kind of type of energy, which is very easy to relate to the fifth ray, but yet it is not said that way.
I found the reference.
Okay.
I can't locate it, of course, reference lost, but... one little reference that really put Capricorn into connection with the fifth ray as well as the 137. So obviously the mental plane and the fifth ray are very closely related, and the study of the concrete aspect of life is Capricornian and also of the fifth ray.
Yep. Right, and when we think about the whole idea that when we are going to leave the earthly career behind us, we have to go through the mental plane. So it said that the Capricorn opens the way to the hierarchy. So it is exactly about this idea that one has to fulfill several things and have to have the mind involved.
Definitely. Okay, I'm not going to go looking for that right now, but it is definitely connected, because you think about the solar angels, right? And the major rays of the solar angels in general, even though, you know, probably there are angels on each one of the rays, but the generic ray would be ray 2 and ray 5. And the Capricorn is so identified with that hierarchy of solar angels. So there's no question that it does help to locate us on the mental plane and on the higher mental plane eventually. Yeah. Well, now let's see. Is there anybody that would like to say something in reference to this paragraph or?
Vera has her hand up. Yes, Vera, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. What caught my attention was that the individual unit needs to raise their consciousness, developed all the body so that they can bring something, because we are social creatures and being sort of isolated, it's quite lonely and difficult. Mm-hmm. And often we want to be in the group, but what do I bring to the group? What instrument am I going to play? So that was quite nice. That's okay. First we have to do our individual work or simultaneously, and then we can bring something and,
This is so important, Vera, because, we are told that a master will never take anybody into his ashram unless there is a contribution that person can make to the ashram. So, it may not be a great contribution, but the selectivity has to do with, is the person in a really deeply aligned somehow with the master's will and intention? Because he's not just going to select anybody that is not going to reinforce his own purpose. And then what will be the contribution of that person or individual when selected? What is the gift? Because that builds the ashram, obviously. So it's obvious, but we have to think not only in terms of what will we get,
yes,
but what will we give? Yeah.
And that relates us to the first law of the soul, the law of sacrifice.
It begins there, and in a way it ends there. It's a very powerful law and very much related to the human kingdom and to the fourth ray. So sacrifice is a huge principle extending all the way up to Sanat Kumara, who is called the great sacrifice, and beyond, to every great being, to every great cosmic atom. The principle of sacrifice has allowed their elevation. And that's what we're talking about right now. All of these laws interplay with each other. We can't just say they are isolated methods of achievement. No, they all interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, then Martin has been commenting, illustrating somewhat the illustrating somewhat the angle to group work. The individual disciple must not look upon his work as a marvelous opportunity for his own spiritual advancement. All true. I'm sorry.
Both of us, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry. All true disciples are equally distinguished by a determination to make the groups successful, and all are longing to get as much out of the group work as possible. All are genuinely animated by a desire to serve, but also by a general satisfaction over the interest and opportunity offered by the group work. Yeah. But Dina One talks to disciples.
Yeah, and that's very legitimate. To be sacrificial and giving in terms of the group does not mean that you do not have expectations that will also lift yourself as a server and contributor. Of course, you have those expectations, but they're not put first, right? They are not the first thing. The first thing is the benefit of the larger whole in which you find yourself. And then sometimes DK says, and almost incidentally, of course, you do benefit individually as well. As a matter of fact, you know, he pointed to what happened with his groups that he formed and tried to form, and he said, look, a lot of you have gotten a tremendous amount out of this association individually. But, you know, my goal was something greater than that, and that goal has not been fully realized by any means. But we still have another almost 200 years, because the Seed Group Project is a 275-year project. And you can pretty much think of it as beginning not just in the early 30s, but when the ashrams in 1925, many of them moved to the Buddhic plain. And that was the year of the great conclave once again, see. So we'll have other chances in our next incarnation, and it will continue.
Well, I can relate this thing also. When we think about the axis between the Aquarius and Leo, and Leo is bringing for us the drama and the theater. And in theater, you absolutely realize how the work is done by the group, how intricate it is. You cannot take behind the scenes anyone's work away, otherwise it is not functioning. And I think this kind of experiences would be so good to teach our children, that that we learn to see however unseen is our work, but in order of the group life, the group life is like a cell. If you take anything away from the cell, it cannot function.
And I'm thinking about in theater and in the arts, you have what's called the ensemble, which means, you know, to gather together, ensemble, to gather together. And the whole group must function as an ensemble if you're going to have a really good performance. And all it takes is a couple of sour notes in an orchestra, or maybe actors that are not doing their role within the ensemble, and the whole thing suffers. So there's an Aquarius, Leo Aquarius dynamic going on there. And again, it takes us back to the idea of group responsibility, how responsible we are to the welfare of the whole ensemble.
Was it Kennedy who said these famous words about that?
Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Something like that. He was a Gemini Libra, you know. I think a lot of sixth ray and first ray, of course. So anyway, group responsibility. Now, there's more, I think, here.
Martin says, yes, the comparison with the music ensemble is really that.
Yeah, yeah.
He is also right.
Everybody has to be so sharp, because it stands out. You know, if you're not playing your part with accuracy, everything will suffer. So it's a real example of group responsibility. And I think it's a type of training. I know in my life, you know, this particular life has been a Ray-4 life in the arts and with various instruments and acting and singing and stage directing when I look back at it. And it was somehow for me a lesson in group work. I remember, you know, life as a stage director in opera, and I really had to think of everybody on that stage and what they were doing and how they were doing it, you know. And I think maybe hopefully I learned something that could be applied to other higher forms of group work, although, you know, what's higher and what's lower. Every ray has its exaltation. So maybe you have experiences like that too, where you realize, I've really learned something here about how to support the group. Anything else here?
No, there are no other comments.
Okay. I wonder, we're almost at an hour. I could mention just a little bit more in the coming paragraph, just to get us started. We go into Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, and I just want to, without becoming overly
Michael,
detailed.
Once again, there is still Martin is continuing. You will no longer be preoccupied with yourselves and your own problems, but you will become unified with your group for group work and eventually for still wider group purposes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're only thinking about your own role, you know, if you're fixated on only what you are doing, there's just no harmonization. You know, if there are different methods of tuning in music, and if I'm singing, if I'm singing in the temperate scale and someone else is singing in the finely tuned just scale, you know, there's differences in vibrations, they're not going to blend. We have to, in other words, it's very simple. We have constantly to adjust to each other. That really is what is demanded of us. And even back in the days of Plato, who had his own musical knowledge as an initiate, he required the adjustment of every member of the group to every other member. It might not have been absolutely perfect, but that little bit of a fudge factor, we might say, made it possible for everybody to be in harmony with each other because they were really listening. You know, when you're a conductor of a choir, a choir, let us say, we oftentimes hear the choir director, and I've oftentimes said to myself, hey, listen to each other. Now, come on, listen to each other, because they're off in their own world, you know, singing in a way that suits them, and they forget about the other person. So if everybody listens to each other, the harmony results, and there may be, you know, a little adjustment. It may not be pitch perfect as some of the systems of tuning demand. Very exacting science, this science of tuning. Remember, fourth ray of mathematical exactitude. But we have to learn, to listen to each other. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, the more we tune in within, the more we are aware of outer. The more we are aware or tuning in the outer, the less we are aware of the inner. What I mean in that the more we are advancing within ourselves, the more we are aware of the
others. The more
others.
Sensitive. It's like, I mean, the hierarchy, the closer they can get to Shambhala, the more effective they can be with humanity. They go in so that they can go out better and so forth. It's the dual life of the disciple, but also the dual life of the initiate. I just want to mention a principle here, and then, you know, not too much more, because, you know, there's a lot here that we can take up the next time that we
Michael,
meet.
I was just thinking, we passed this because I think this is the very important statement by a DK, that the group does not become group before it has a mission.
Yeah, yeah. And basically he talks about a group project. And he says, I've watched you, I've waited. And he said to some of his groups, you have formed no group project, which would integrate you, you know, mm-hmm. and really make it possible for a true group to appear. So that seems to be one of the main things that was missing when a kind of failure occurred in some of his groups. They benefited individually, but they never coalesced around a group project. Now, he did give some group projects. For instance, the triangles work was considered to be a group project, and he expected people to really support it. The work of men and women of goodwill was a group project, and he expected support. But for most of his groups, those C groups, they never did get that far. And finally, later in the 40s, there came a kind of a group project, which was like externalizing his ashram in New York. And Alice Bailey conducted these ashramic meetings, and the text, what they were using to do that was her experience and also the rules that were written for advancing disciples and initiates, the 14 rules of group initiation. That was another one of the group projects, and to some extent that did occur on a monthly basis. But they never got to the point where forming a group project, all of the main issues of group life and group usefulness could be part of their consideration. So that's important. I mean, was there anything else that had to be said about that?
No. I was just, Vera, is your hand up still from the earlier one, or do you want to say something?
Yeah.
Maybe it is from the earlier.
No. It's. I don't know why it remains there.
Sorry. Maybe we have to do so. I lower your hand. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to say about the laws of the soul that they are in two different categories. They are triadal laws, and they are also soul laws. Now, when you get to the law of repulse, the fourth law, as it says here, it does correspond to the law of sacrifice. And it's a first ray kind of impulse. This law of repulse, fourth law, it never comes in until the third initiation, really. But a little bit of it can come in, but not in its fullness. It's Atma, it's spiritual will, and It operates via the sacrifice petals and the subsidiary law of sacrifice. So there's always a triadal law connected with a soul law. Now, we're studying here the law of group progress. It's also a triadal law. It's the fifth law. It involves buddhi and spiritual love. And now its lower correspondence is coming in via the love petals. And it's related to the second law. You see, five here is related to two. Now, those are the solar angelic rays, five and two. And finally, we have this very advanced law about which he hardly writes anything. The last two laws, he hardly writes anything. And it's called the law of expansive response. It's the sixth law, connected with manas and higher spiritual mind, and the knowledge petals are the recipients of that energy, and the subsidiary is the law of service. So just keep those things in mind, that Atma, that the law of repulse connects with sacrifice, the law of group progress, which we're going to study, connects with the law of magnetic impulse or polar union, and the law of expansive response with the law of service. And you can't get to the higher laws unless we can fulfill something of their expression in the soul nature. These higher spiritual laws reflect themselves in the three lower spiritual laws, and they're not really low at all, you know. Finding their way into the lower consciousness via the egoic lotus and the antaskarana. This statement is the second basic postulate, okay, in connection with the law of repulse. We're not studying the law of repulse, though that's a wonderful and tremendous study. The first postulate being that unless there is a thread of light to act as a channel, that which the law conveys will be unknown and unrealized. So building the antikarana is the way of reaching into the higher soul laws, which are triadal laws. And when we undertake this law of group progress, we are entering into a triadal realm. That's just something to keep in mind. So next time we can, you know, go further with this. If there are any questions or comments up to this point, we can take them. Otherwise,
there are no comments.
Okay. I think we've established some good principles around our sense of responsibility. And, you know, it's kind of an odd thing, but you may go out in the world and you don't know somebody and you don't know anybody. There's somebody working in a grocery store or a gas station or where, you know, but somehow your radiation is contributing either to the elevation of that unknown individual or to a fall. And that's why we're so responsible. That's why service is considered to be the spontaneous outflow of soul energy towards others. Okay, well, we could have, if there are no other questions, if there are no other comments, or anything on occultism per se that, you know, you want to have addressed, then we can invoke the Lords of Liberation again. we try to include that in our programs because this is a decisive moment when humanity's liberation or humanity's conquest by the dweller is at stake. It's kind of a third and psycho-spiritual phase of the Great War that was in the 20th century. So it's a very important time. Atuya, maybe would you like to do the
Shall you put that there?
Yeah, it's coming. And it will be almost here with us in just a second. Almost here. And now it is.
We can turn in also that we just yesterday had the new moon in Aquarius, reminding ourselves that the hierarchy is under the energy of Aquarius. Let the lords of liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth and coming save. Come forth, Almighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, Almighty One. The hour or service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, Almighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, Almighty One, and plant these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And tonight at 6 p.m., we have our glamour work. Plenty to do, and that will be a Zoom also Zoom webinar kind of, and you have the link for that, I think, in your weekly schedule. Okay, thank you for attending, and some of you I know at an inconvenient hour, and we're grateful for your presence. So, that's it. And we'll get this up on Makara as soon as we can. When those in America who put it up are awake. Okay.
Thank you. Bye bye. See you.